stop. I don't want it to stop. You ever get to a point where you're just like, okay, if we have to go back to the mundane, I don't even want to go anymore. If death has lost its sting, what possibly could be bothering you today? I mean, literally, if it's gone, it doesn't matter. I know right now there's somebody in this room, somebody online, somebody somewhere who's struggling with something. But listen, you compare that to the Lord who is so worthy of our praise that you just don't want to stop telling him over and over and over again. Get up out of your seat sometimes at home and just go praise him, man. Just go praise him. And listen, I don't want to make light of anybody's situation, but I want you to understand that in Christ, he says he heals all of our diseases. He takes care of us. Anxiety is gone. It's literally like yesterday I had a Sabbath, man. It was like all day long God was just blessing after blessing after blessing after blessing after blessing. And I don't want to get out of that. I don't want to get out. Friday, not so much. Thursday, not at all. But yesterday, man, it's Friday, but Sunday's coming, right? Hey, would you guys just greet your neighbor real quick and say hello, grab your seat, and we're going to get into some word. We're going to get into some word in just a minute. I love you guys so much. Oh, man, what a church we have. What a church we have. Woo. I know he did. You guys have no idea how proud I am of my grandson over here. He just, sometimes you don't really see kind of what goes on all behind the scenes. Like the things that happen in your life, man, that you just know that, like when you're working on it and things are going, you're going through things, you're going, man, I don't know if I'm going to get this. It's like Thursday or Friday. I wrote my sermon four times before I got it down. I had this brain fog and stuff happening and all this. But man, me and Robert got over here, like, was it Wednesday or something? And we worked for a little while on just that. That was a very difficult song to play for him. And God just, man, just opened up the windows of heaven. I want to tell you something. You think about music in a way. People accuse us all the time of being a church that likes to entertain and worship. Well, listen, if worship's not fun to you, you're in the wrong spot. I'm serious. I've dreamt all my life to be in a place where we could worship and just enjoy it. Just eat it up because God is so worthy. And I'm all for solemn and reverent. Sometimes I need to be quiet and still and all those things. But sometimes, it's good to do a 16th run across the drums and praise Jesus with it. And if you don't know what that is, it don't matter. But you felt it whether you know what it is or not. And that's the point. That's the point. The reason we swell choruses and sing them over and over and over again is because Scripture says that when we get to there, wherever, whatever it's going to look like, we're studying the end times in Diane's group right now, and we're all jacked up about it. I don't know if I believe this or that or whatever, but I do know this. When I get there, whatever it is, the angels and us, we're going to proclaim the worthiness of God over and over and over and over and over again. And we're going to sing it. And we're going to sing it, and we're going to serve him, and we're going to worship him, we're going to praise him, and it's going to be amazing. Can we just say hello to all of our guests? We have brand new people again all across this room. We're so grateful for you guys. Some all the way from Washington State, for crying out loud. I mean, they get the long distance award, okay? Unless somebody's from, like, you know, over in Europe somewhere or whatever. But we're so glad you're here. Would you please do the honor for us to just either grab one of those cards in front of you out of the chair. Just fill it out and let us connect with you. If you're local here, you don't have a place to worship, we'd love to have you come and be a part of us. But we don't have all the answers, but we've got the answer, okay? We do have the answer, like a lot of churches do. And so we're not claiming to be anything better or whatever. We just want you to know that we want to pour life into you. And hey, guess what? Look around you. Everybody look around. Look in front. Look to your right over there. See that person to your right. Look to your left. See that person over to your left. Look right behind you. Everybody just look behind you real quick. Just look back there. See those people back there? All right, and you guys in the back, look at the people up front. You see those people right there? Every one of them's people, and they're all messed up. Yep. It's just true. I'm looking at you guys online. I can't. Hey, it's welcome to my online church. Hey, guys, we're glad you're here. You're messed up too. And you can plug yourself up into anything you want to, but if there's people in it, it's going to all be jacked up because we're people. But the truth is that we have the answer to all of that, all of it. Doesn't matter if your business is messed up or your physical self is kind of messed up right now, whatever. None of that matters because God is the answer. We don't have an answer. We have the answer to all of that stuff. When you sing that song, that death has lost its sting, do you get that? You can't even kill me and make me mad. You know what I'm saying? I mean, when you can't kill a man and he'll be worried about it, then you got a problem on your hands. God says, man, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. I just want to be with him. Man, I'm just so pumped about this series, and I'm a little nervous about it. Oh, ooh, there I am. I'm sorry about that, Nemo. My bad, buddy. The sound guys love it when you grab this thing and put it right in front of your face. Anyway, it's not really good. I'm trying to make it work, but I'm just grateful. Have I said that already? All right, let's move on. Time to move on. Y'all want some word? Y'all ready for some word? Before I do that, I want to invite you to something. Today at 5 o'clock, we're going to meet right here. And it's really called Developing You. And we want to come. If you want to come at 5 o'clock today, we call it Impact. And today is step two of that. I'm leading it today. I get the honor to lead it today. I'm excited about it. It's my favorite one to lead. And we'll walk you through some steps where you can learn about who you are and basically what gifts God has given you so that you, if you want to come alongside of us or take it somewhere else or whatever you need to do with it, we can help you understand a little bit better how you work, how you tick, what makes you get gravitated towards certain things. You walk into this room, you see the instruments and the computers and the lights, you think, man, I'd love to be able to do that. I'd love to run some of that. I'd love to play on that stuff. I'd love to be able to. And some of you walk by the kids ministry back there and you go, man, if I could just teach a kid Jesus today. That's not me, but that's you. And I'm so grateful for the people who do. Whatever it is, we want to help you find that spot, whether it's in our church or somewhere else. And we'd love to help you do that. It's called Impact Step 2, and it's just developing your design. It says you are designed for something. God didn't look at you when you were born and go, I don't have a clue what I'm going to do with that one. God looked at you and said, I've got purpose, and I got a plan. I got something for them. And he actually made the plan, and he created you to fill it. And here's the problem. The problem is many of us are looking for the plan. We're all the time wondering, what is God's will for my life, and what does he want me to do, and all these kinds of things. And so many times, you're actually doing it. You're in the midst of doing it, but you don't recognize it because you don't see it as a religious thing or a spiritual thing. You see it as something else. God's got you in a place, man. And I love telling that to mamas. I love mamas that get to. In our culture, it's very difficult. You need two incomes almost. Eggs are $7 a dozen. Unless you go to the Grotter farm, and then they're cheaper than that. But anyway, maybe I shouldn't have said that, Casey. I'm sorry. There ain't enough chickens to go around for all of us, but praise God, we got a dozen. But anyway, but for real, things like that are happening. You think, we can't make it. We have to have two incomes. But God bless you in the midst of all of that for being in the mission field, in your home, as moms and dads for Jesus, man. You're changing the world. The old country song, The Hand That Rocks the Cradle Rules the World. So true, man. Just go and enjoy your mission. You say, well, I work in a plant. Well, praise God. Plants need Jesus. That's right. I just go to school. I'm just a student. Lord knows we need Jesus in our schools. And this whole series that I'm about to do called Frame is really talking about how that we kind of structure ourselves in order to give ourselves the best opportunity so that Holy Spirit would do what he's going to do. Now, I want to quickly back that up and say, we're not trying to dictate what Holy Spirit does, okay? I've tried that for years. I've tried that. And you can do that. You can quench the Spirit, the Bible says. You can stop him from doing what he wants to do in your life, especially if you're scared of him. I learned a couple of years ago, quit being scared of him and start worshiping him as God. And then you start listening to what he says, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh, where did that come from? And what happened with that? You know, why am I sick and I'm not worried about it? Or why am I don't have a job and I'm not concerned about it? That's called the peace that surpasses all understanding. It comes from Christ. And it's deeper than anything in this world that you can possibly get in this world. It's better than any drug you can take. It's better than any food you can eat. Maybe except cheesecake. But anyway, no, for real, it is. It's better than anything you could possibly have in this world. And I want you so bad to have that. We at Every church want you to have that. And as I said, we're not perfect at it, but we're trying so hard to show life to people. And so just, we're going to go through this message today, and I've been prayed over. I'm excited. I think it's going to be good. I hope you guys enjoy and learn and grow from it. And you guys that are from other states and other places, praise God, if you're here, you can take some of the stuff with you if you want to. It's online. I love it. And we can talk right now. People in Swahili, wherever, can watch it. That's crazy to me. That's crazy. Anyway, Father, I love you. Thank you, Father, for this excitement this morning. Not the excitement for excitement's sake, but Father, Thank you for the joy and the peace and the excitement that we have in you. And God, help us, Father, as we move through this message today to learn what you would have us to learn in Jesus' name. Amen. There's all kinds of biblical pictures in the Bible of forms and frames and our physical bodies, for example. It's a frame with some, you know, organs on it that get to move around. You take the frame out, you're just a blob of nothing over here, right? And so there are forms like family is a form. God started the whole world with family. Husband leaves mother and father. They two become one flesh, and they begin that. That's terrible. Husband leaves wife. The pastor just said that. So you guys who clip things, that's a really bad place to clip, right? Family is a frame. It's a structure. Your house is built on a structure. And we're going to see a visual picture of that in just a moment. But it's at its very basic definition, a frame is a supporting structure. Frames hold up buildings. They hold picture frames. They hold up stories. They hold up the wheels and the pedals and the handlebars on a bicycle. There's a frame that gets all that together. You take the frame away from your car, and it's like your body. It's a pile of parts. It's just a pile of parts everywhere. And so that whole concept is all through Scripture. And so I got to go ahead and throw the first picture up. This is a picture of Brandon's addition to his home. And what's that called? That's the foundation, all right? We're not going to talk about foundation per se, but everything lives on the foundation. Everything does. Your children in class today are learning this. Praise God for a children's ministry who can punt when it comes time to. Because I had told them something completely different, another illustration. And Talitha said, oh, Dad, you should have called me and I did not. But she's working it out, man. So your kids are going to get to talk about this too. They're going to learn today about what holds things together. And the foundation is the starting of it. In Scripture, the Bible says no one can lay any foundation other than the one that is already that we already have, and that is Jesus Christ. That's in 1 Corinthians 3. Structures, in order for structures to function the way they do, they have to be set on a foundation. And here's the thing. Foundations never change. Structures will always change. Foundations do not change. Okay? And so the next is the frame. That's the next picture. And this is a little bit later than the framing, actually. This was as close as we had to a picture of his house being framed. But it is framed, and all that stuff on the outside, that wrap around it, is held up by a frame of 2x4s. And if you don't do those right, and he had to have some things done to his house, that these guys come in, these construction guys are amazing, literally changing things with inches here and there to change the entire structure. They knew what they were doing. They put it together, and it all works. That's what amazes me. Just throw a pile of 2x4s out there and give them to me. It don't look like this when you finish, but you give them to these guys, and you get a frame. And everything outside and inside Brandon's house, and it's Emily's house too, by the way. She's not in here, so I can just say Brandon, I guess. But everything in their house is actually hung on those things, whether it's a beautiful thing or just a structural thing or an electrical outlet or whatever. It's all attached to the frame. And, of course, the last picture is the finished product. And the finished product is awesome. His actually comes with a plastic slide and a garbage can. But anyway, but the finished product is kind of what you're after when you're building something. And the anticipation of all of that. You know, you get your house, framing goes up fast. You can get it bricked in decently fast. We watch them building houses all around here. But when you get on the inside, they begin to put trim and paint. You guys know, Terra Nova's, they've been over here working on this, trying to feverishly. By the way, be praying for them. I'm sorry, that's the first time I said by the way. That's the last time today. But today, but let's pray for them as they get open so that God will bless that whole business, because we want some Italian food and we love that. So but the process of getting it from where it was to where it is now, it's detailed stuff. And it's the slow stuff. And it's everything that hangs on that. And the finished product is what we want. And as the finished product is always going to change. Don't forget that. So the foundation stays the same. And as it changes, the structure has to be modified in order to support what's happening next. That's in your life. That's in your business. That's in your family. It just doesn't matter how that, as it changes, you better change, because if you don't, you're going to be stuck in something you don't want to be in. This TV hanging up here is an illustration of that. When we decided to change from a screen that was hanging up there and a projection to a television, and it's a massive one, by the way. It's heavy. It's super heavy. When they brought it in, it was like this tall in the box. I was helping bring it in. It's huge. And so we were talking about how we're going to hang this up here safely. So Brandon and Micah and someone, I don't know who all, but they got it back here, and they reinforced all of that. In fact, Micah said, if a tornado comes, I'm standing right here. because that, he knows that the structure there has been modified in order to hold that up and make it safe and be supported and do the thing it needs to do, to produce the things that it needs to produce. That's the entire focus of this series. What we do at Discovery Church, and if you're from another church somewhere, you exist on a structure or a framework of leadership and fellowship and all of those things. And here's the truth about that. If you hadn't done it on purpose, it'll form on its own. And I was a long time in some churches where I was like, man, this structure is all jacked up. Why is this not happening? Anyway, I'm not going to get into all that, but I'm just saying, as those things stayed the same for year after year after year after year after year, the church wasn't growing. It's because I had one church hire me one time, and they said, we're introverted. We're a very introverted church. We need somebody to come in and help us to be more extroverted. So that's me. I'm an extrovert. I'm telling you. So I come in, and we started doing all these great things, and people started coming that hadn't been there before. And some of them didn't look like us and didn't act like us. And was like, And so people were like, we want to be extroverted, but not like that. You know? And it's like, you start pointing around, trying, we don't want to be that way, whatever. I'm going to tell you, when God starts bringing people to you, when God starts putting people in your life, and you start feeling that push away to go, I don't know about that one, but maybe this one, but not that one, and so on, you need to run that out of your life, because God's going to bring all the people. And it's my judgment that when Jesus came into the world, he didn't go pick out all the elites and he picked out the people nobody else wanted. And he did things nobody else was doing. And when he did that, he got results that no one else was getting. And not all of them were good in the physical sense of the word, because it cost him his life. The religious establishment tried to stop it. And you guys know that we're not out to change things for change's sake. We're simply looking at our world and what do we need to look like. When we first started this church, we started this particular church, and we didn't know what we was going to call it. We had no name. We had no money. We had no place. We didn't have any of those things. And we were doing what I love to do, and that is flying by the seat of my pants. I mean, literally, we're just having fun and just making decisions on the whim and just whatever and kind of thing. And it didn't take long for me to realize that if we keep doing this and we're going to keep looking that small, I mean, we're going to be in and of ourselves. And so we had to start doing some other things. We begin to develop some things. And all we knew was that we wanted something more than just quote unquote church. Yep. That we wanted something deeper, something more meaningful. That we wanted Jesus is what we were looking for. We just sometimes he gets crowded out by the religion of the world. And I wished I could tell you we got it all figured out and we've got to an end, and here we are. Here we are. You guys know, in any leadership, whether it's a business or whatever, when you say to yourself, well, this is it, we made it, and you kick back and do nothing else, then all of a sudden you're going to be at the very mercy of the culture around you and the things around you. And so I just finished a book called Necessary Endings. Sometimes things have to stop so something good can begin. Isn't that powerful? This whole book is an incredible book. Henry Cloud wrote the book. It's an older book. Get it, man. It's an incredible book. Necessary Endings. Sometimes you have to stop one thing in order to start something else. And what our problem is oftentimes is we look at what our situation is and we're so stinking comfortable in it that we don't want to change anything. The older I get, the more that's me. Don't change me much. I want my soap on the certain side of the sink. I want everything's put away like it needs to be and brought out like it needs to be and used and put right back. And all those things, all that stuff, we get so set in our ways and we become at the mercy of our habits. We have no idea where we're going next. That's why God gave us vision. That's why he gives us dreams. That's why people like me will just dream and dream and dream and dream and dream. And we need people who help put things together to structure that, to really make it happen. That's really the purpose of all of this. When we say we've arrived, we can stop now. We're in a desperately bad place. And so the question becomes for me is, what does this structure do for me? What does structure do for us? I have watched structures be put into place in businesses and in churches and in families that were destructive. And so we have to be careful as we are building and we are putting things together. We're trying to map out kind of how we want to see ourselves organizationally. Be careful not to run over someone said it last night. Chelsea, you said, what was this morning? We manage things and we, say it loud. We lead people. Yeah, we manage things and we lead people. I love that thought. That concept, we love people through it. And this is what this message is going to be about today. What do structures do? Number one, structures do this. If you guys came in this morning, we're handed. By the way, Is Lizzie in here? Where are you, Lizzie? She may be in children's ministry. Oh, there you are. Today was Lizzie's first day to serve on the hospitality team. Handing out worship guides. And standing next to her was my wife, Liz. So we had a Liz and a Lizzie standing there. You know, she's trying to help her through. I just love that concept that people just, she said, I had to get here early today because I had to come to huddle. Or she got to come to huddle. And they enjoyed that. And I love seeing that kind of, man, our young people are just killing it, man. They're awesome. And I love every one of them. So here's the thing. What do structures do? Number one, pull those notes out. We're going to fill in some blanks and hopefully walk through some things pretty quickly to learn some stuff. Number one, structures support focus on the main thing. That's a Bill-ism right there. That's a Bill Downs-ism right there. Bill Downs says to keep the main thing. And we have to continually do that. In the Old Testament, in the book of Exodus, there's a character that I love his name. His name's Jethro. I wish his last name was Bodine. If you don't get that, it's okay. But his name was Jethro, and he was the father-in-law of Moses. And Moses was working hand to hand, morning to night, every day. And he was wearing himself out. The Bible says he was dealing with the disputes of the people. I'm going to tell you something. Man, when you get a whole week of just dealing with disputes of people, it'll wear you out. It doesn't matter if it's in your home or at work or at church or wherever. It will absolutely slap wear you out. And Jethro said, look, if you don't get some help, you're going to wear yourself out. And you're not going to be any good to anybody. You need to get back to the main thing. How are we going to do that? Scripture says he told him to appoint people over hundreds and fifties and tens to divide. And divisional leadership sometimes looks like it's dividing, but it's actually divisions like in an army. We have this division's fighting over here and this division fighting over here. And it's not divided. It's simply a way to see things. And Jethro pointed that out to him. And here's the why. Jethro said, you need to teach them God's decrees and give them his instructions and show them how to conduct their lives. So Moses did that. He divided them up, and the workload got distributed amongst the people. Fast forward hundreds of years forward to Acts chapter 6 in the New Testament of your Bible. It's the fifth book. It's after the Gospels. It's a book about the Holy Spirit moving through the world. And in that book, he talks about how at the very beginning, they found these women who were upset at each other. Go figure that. But anyway, they were upset at each other. They were upset, and it was Greek-speaking women and Hebrew-speaking women, and that's huge. That's a very racially divided thing in their culture and time. And when the church came together and God put them all together, it had to be like really jacked up for some people. The Jews didn't like the Greeks, and the Greeks didn't like the Jews, and they were trying to come together in a church. And so they had this problem. And so it was about food distribution. They were trying to distribute food amongst everyone. And these widows, God bless them, some of them were getting more than others. And they had a legit beef. They really were like upset about something that was legit, but they were angry and upset about it. And so what the disciples decided to do, not that they couldn't handle the situation, but they shouldn't handle the situation. And what they did is they decided to appoint men. The scripture says it this way: select 7 men who are well respected and full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, and we will give them responsibility. Then we apostles can spend our time in prayer and teaching the word, keeping the main thing the main thing. And I want you to understand something. A lot of times in teaching about this, we call these men deacons, and we say, well, deacons just do the menial tasks of the church. Did you see the qualifications for those men? It didn't say just guys that were good business dudes or whatever. This is another message for another time, but this is a little bit of a freebie in this message, and that is that he said full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom. They're going to need Holy Spirit and wisdom to help figure out this problem. But the apostles did not need to spend their time in doing that kind of thing so that they could spend time on the main thing. Bringing others into the picture is always going to be great advice for you. We get fearful sometimes of our positions. According to the great philosopher John Maxwell, if all you have in leadership is a position, you got nothing. You want leadership that is influence. You want leadership that's coming because of who you are. And by the way, there it is again. Man, I said it twice. You guys who are guests with us, just let's overlook that. I'm working on it. I really am. The thing is, if you're following, if you think you're leading somebody and nobody's following you, you're just taking a stroll.
That's right.
That's a Lynn Anderson quote, not the singer, but the book writer. And so That's so true. So many times we think, ha, 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 I'm leading my house. I'm the man of my house. Yeah, I'm the man of my house. And Jesus ain't nowhere to be found in our hearts. You're taking a stroll, man. Get Jesus up inside of you and then lead your family well. And that's for all of us doing that. Keep the main thing. When we incorporate our gifts into that, and this is for later on, then it becomes like, man, it becomes so focused. So not only do we focus on the main thing, structure number two does this. It supports the vision. It supports the vision. If you got a dream for a business, you need to have a vision for that business. If you got a dream for your family, you need to have that vision. So it needs to be written down for your family. This is the vision for our family. We have one for our church. And when you have a vision of the place you're going, the structure helps you be able to carry that. It becomes this transporting thing. Like your automobile. It's a structure that does that. We do four things here. We try to do four things well here. Number one, we want you to have a relationship with God. If you don't have that, that's your starting point today. It's to accept Christ, to become a part of his kingdom, and to begin walking that walk with him. Once you have that, we want you to be able to have freedom from your past. And we will help you. We're going through a small group right now called Freedom, and it's just amazing and how to pull out from our small groups are the way we do this. We get together in groups so people can share deeply more about things that are going on, even than what you're studying or what you're talking about. And when that happens, freedom begins to happen. Because when you begin to tell somebody else about your problems, the devil has no more power over it. Right. And so that's so powerful. So let that happen in freedom. And then we want you to have purpose for your life. And that purpose, we do that, we try to primarily do that through helping you through impact. And that's tonight at 5, coming and learning what your spiritual gifts are, who you are in your personality, so that you can say, you know what, I think I'm gifted to do this. I want to go try this. And you move forward. Because when you get in your wheelhouse, whatever that is, I didn't know preaching would ever be in my wheelhouse. And some of you may be disagreeing that it is. But when I started this whole thing, it was literally going into a class and just being like, okay, I'll talk to you guys about prayer today. And 5 minutes, I did a five-minute sermon on prayer. I was hooked, man. I knew at that point, I didn't know what it was going to look like. I didn't know what was going to happen. But I had to begin at that point doing what I'm doing now. And it has been all kinds of this in the middle of it, okay? But when you figure that out, you become like, oh, why is that important? So you can do number four, and that is to make an impact on the world. If you are not making a difference in somebody else for Jesus, you have not lived yet. I mean that. You may have, I mean, Liz has jumped out of a perfectly good airplane before. I mean, she's done skydiving. I don't desire to. It's pretty cool. The video's kind of weird. Her face is all blah, 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 and all this. And it's just pretty cool. She's got that's great for her. It's not, but that's not the apex of her life. Marrying me is not the apex of her life. If her life is not centered up in Jesus and what she's doing for him, then she's missed the point. We are all there. You're not meant to just make money and pay bills and do things you like to do and all those things. We are gifted to impact the world for Jesus. And the only thing you're taking over there at that other place are people. I said it last week. I'll say it again this week. And so be making a difference. Be making a difference. And so the structure we're going to hang that on is also four. And these are the next four messages. All I want to do is mention them today. And we're going to talk about the why of them later. The first one is encounters. You just encountered God this morning. You didn't encounter an incredible worship band or an incredible bunch of people. If you encountered anything except God this morning, we missed our mark. We want you to know who God is. We pray it every time. Lord, get us out of the way. Help us to see that. We've been given a beautiful campus. Not given. We pay for it. But we have this place that, if y'all know the story, I don't have time to tell you today. It's an incredible story of how we got here. And this place is our last place. Just for example, for you guests this morning, the front lobby was how big our place was last time. We were there 6 years. And so we were there a long time. It was two services, but man, God just kept growing. COVID tried to kill it and it couldn't, and on and on and on, all these things. So we've been given this beautiful place, and everything you see in the building, it has a purpose and a reason behind it. And if it doesn't, we need to get done with it, okay? And so we're gonna talk about what it means to be able to meet together. Third place is outreach. The whole reason we exist as a kingdom is to reach out to people for Jesus. And so our mandate from the Lord is that we not only go into our communities and our neighbors and our whatevers, we go into the world. And so we are now in the place. God has sent us people to help us develop our vision for the world. This is a global thing. Go into all the world, Jesus said. And it's indicated in the New Testament that they did that in that century without internet and without all this stuff that we have now. There is no reason why we can't reach the whole world for Jesus. And it's not just us. And I'm so grateful it's not. There's so many churches everywhere that are doing that. And we just want to join in the stream. And then the last part of our structure is the discipleship. What do we do? Have somebody here. Outreach is there. Inreach is we love each other. We help each other grow. We sharpen the iron, sharpening iron, and teaching our children and our teens and our olds like us and all that. We just completely pour in. We bring each other along by blessing and teaching. What I love, and I used that illustration about Liz and Lizzie a while ago because Liz has done that before. She's standing next to Lizzie to give her confidence. That is a way of discipleship. That's actually, okay, I've been doing this. I'm going to watch you do it. Now, next week, you'll do it by yourself, or next time you do it. You know what to do. And we don't always get that perfect. But training people and moving people through it, it's not just about, that is, handing out a worship guide is not in the Bible.
That's right.
Serving Jesus is in the Bible.
Yep.
And the way, and all the hundreds of ways to be able to do that. And I just love the fact that we have the freedom to walk in all of that. We are a community. Serving our community, our country, and our world. And that's how we're going to do this, okay? So the next few messages are going to be biblical texts about how we support all of that. What is God's? We're not just trying to find God's way to bless our vision. We're simply trying to find out what God wants us to do. And you guys that are in the know on developing all of this, you know how many times we've changed it. And it'll change again.
Yeah.
And again. And again. Because I have no doubt that God's going to keep bringing people to us. Not because of who we are, but because of who he is. And the last thing is this. This is not the final point, but this last thing on this. Just so you guys that are keeping score, okay, and watching your watch, okay, I got you. And so it's not just making them things the main thing or seeing the vision. A structure supports the health of the church. There's two kind of buzzwords that goes. There's a buzzword about church, and one of the buzzwords is church growth. You hear that all the time. Is the church growing? Pastors get together and they get in a room. We're all having dinner together. And they say, how's it going at your church? What we mean is how many people do you have?
Right. Yep.
It's kind of one of those things. How many folks over at your church? And if I say 115, it's like, the guy goes, next thing out of me, he goes, we ain't got but 50. What's going on over here at our church? I learned years ago to quit comparing numbers to other people.
Yeah.
We're not comparing to other people. We're doing what God's called us to do right here. And if he gives us 150 till we all die and go to heaven one day, that's all right with me. We're just trying to help each other find who Jesus is. I don't think that's going to, I believe more is going to come. But do you want a church that grows or do you want a healthy church? There's a difference. There are some things that grow that are not good. Cancer grows, but it's not good. There are movements in our world that are growing right now that are not good. And it's sucking the life out of our young people, a lot of them. And all of a sudden, we don't want that kind of, there are certain things that grow that are, weeds grow, but you don't want them in your yard or in your flower garden or in your garden, food garden. You don't want that. You want things to be healthy. Healthy things always grow. And structure doesn't come along. You guys who are in quote leadership, which we call supportship basically, we tried our best. I've tried everything I can do to flip a pyramid upside down. So I'm not up here over you and you're over this one and over this one and over this one. And Nemo tried his best to let me see the cascade picture. And I love that picture where it just cascades into one thing and another, and it's all a blessing. But my favorite org chart is a flipped upside down one. It puts me on the bottom and everybody else above. And that's what we need to see this as. Because if it doesn't become that, it will become an anchor. It'll sink the ship. Because too often we create something. Oh, this is cool. Look how pretty this is on paper. Look how this great, how great this. You do that for your family. You think, well, look what I did in my family. No. It's not the structure. It's the foundation that holds it up. But the structure itself, as it moves and ebbs and flows, we see something we want to be healthy. We want it to be healthy because healthy things grow. And it's not to tighten the screws on me or you or to figure it out. This all started because people were seeing in our church that I was trying to do way too much as a pastor. And I'm not bragging on myself about that. I wasn't doing enough in my mind. I will never do enough in my mind. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Where you see your day, you get to the end of the day, and you go, man, I just missed it here and there and there. I wish I'd have done that. If I'd have called that customer, if I'd have said this, or if I'd had to put in, we'd already do this. And we're just constantly doing this in our world. We live in this crazy world that everything's about achievement, and I got to have this and do that. If I'm not going to do that or have that, then I'm not successful. And we need to eradicate that from our life. We're not tightening screws on one another. We're simply holding each other up. It's a picture of Aaron and her holding Moses' arms. I'm not Moses and neither are you, but sometimes you just need somebody to come along and prop your arm up, don't you? Sometimes you just need somebody to come along and trust you and believe in you and say, you know what? No matter what happens, I love you. No matter what happens, I love you. And when you have that kind of support in your family, in your life, in your church, in your business, and all those things. I had a manager one time that was top-down guy, and he was rude and all these things. And I told him one time, I said, if you get people around here to love each other, they'll do anything for you. He made fun of me about that, and I don't have time to tell the whole story. But I told him, I said, you know business. He didn't, by the way. He wound up bankrupt. But he I said, you might know business, but I know people. And these people around here hate each other. You don't find one employee that says to the other one something nice about them. I said, you need to change that. You change that culture, this business will flourish. Because the business was great. I mean, there's nothing wrong with a business at all. So here's my thing. Healthy things grow. Man, I got a lot to cover in 5 minutes. So here we go. Y'all ready? These are the gifts of Christ gave to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers. That's the five, called the fivefold ministry of the church. And you look at those names, we could spend weeks on every one of those names, and we're not going to do that. These are leadership functions. They're not positions. They're functions of kingdom. Okay? Now, so why were they there? We spend so much time in church often worried about, well, am I this or that? What am I? No, the question is, why are you, not what are you? Because your what's going to change, but your why needs to stay centered in Christ. And so then whatever, quote, function you are becomes important. Then because of who Jesus is. Now, what? Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. This is something that in our culture, if you grew up in the South and some of you didn't, and maybe it's the same way in church in the North, but the church became down here where the pastor and the preacher and the minister and the elders or whatever, however you title your leadership, they were the ones who would go see people when they were sick. They were the ones who would, you know, be there when they were born and be there when they were married and be there when they were buried and all those things. This scripture doesn't say that at all. This scripture says that leadership is put in your place in order to equip you and equip the church to do what it does. And he says, this will continue until when? Not until we got it all together and figured it out. It's going to continue until we come to such unity of our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Now, that's a huge standard to reach. You set Christ over here, and I am nothing. I'll never attain to that. But it doesn't mean I don't want to be that. Right. And as we work toward that, our responsibility in leadership is not to do the work, but to equip the people to do the work, and the work becomes what God calls us to. It's like our bodies. Our bodies are equipped to do certain things. My hands don't do the same thing my feet do, and my ears don't do the same thing my eyes do, and on and on and on. There's a whole chapters in the Bible written about that. We support so that we can have health, so that we can grow God's kingdom. And that's what structures can do. And the structures, as they change and they move, there's some things that have to happen. I want to end with four things. They're in your notes. There's going to be scriptures attached to these on screen that are not in your word. And you can actually just write in the reference and go back and read this later. But I wanted to put these in because a couple of reasons. First of all, I knew this message was going to be more teaching than whatever the other stuff is. So, and I wanted to make sure that we leave here today with some thoughts in our heads about how structures work. So if this is your family structure, you can plug these in. If this is your work structure, you can plug it in. If it's your church structure, you can plug it in. Wherever it is that God is, you're founded on Jesus. If you don't get that part right, come on, Kingdom Men, you guys on our Saturday morning small group. If you don't get that part right, then the rest of it crumbles if the foundation's not right. If you change the foundation on Brandon's house right now, he's got to rebuild the whole thing. But the structure is going to always change. I've said that enough, I think. And as it does, there's some things that we need to keep in our mind. And the first thing is I want you to be available. Be available. here am I. Good to me. What can I do? I had a guy back when we first started this, and about a year into it, came to me and was all upset because all I ever hear you talk about is small groups, and all I ever hear you talk about is small groups. Why are you talking about small groups all the time? Because you ain't in a small group. That's what I wanted to say. I didn't say that. I didn't say that. I was trying to be nice. And he had a beef in his mind because he was missing the point of the vision. And so in my crazy self, I said, well, let's just start it all over there. We were eating at Cracker Barrel, and I just grabbed a nap, and I said, let's wad this thing up, throw it in the garbage. What would you do? And that's when he started going, I don't know. Okay, come on, big boy. Tell me some stuff you do. That's what I wanted. Come on. Listen, before I wadded that napkin up, can I just confess to you guys that I was willing at the time to save him and not the vision? Because I was so afraid that if he left, all these people were going to leave and our church would fall apart and Keith would look like a failure, and that was the wrong emphasis altogether. I wouldn't have said it much at the time, but I believe Holy Spirit whispered to me, just listen. And the next thing came out of his mouth, opened my eyes up to why this is important. He said, I don't have an answer. I see lots of problems, but I don't see an answer. And I said, that's a problem. Because if you don't see the answer, and it set me on fire for vision. And it was when it was probably right after that, I just decided, you know what? I don't know what's going to happen. We said when we started this thing, you guys who were here originals, just a few of us left, we said we're going to hold this with an open hand. That means God can come anytime he wants to and grab and take it away from us if he wants to. Or he can take that out of the way and put more in. But if I hold on to this, because this is Keith's vision, this is Keith's church, and this is da-da-da-da-da, whatever it is. And I was accused of that by some people. And I said, if I hold on, and I'll just be honest, man, for a while it was, man, if I can't get church and where I was, I'll just go cream. Wrong spirit, wrong attitude. But the things that you have, if you grip them so tight, it's including your children, it's including your money, it's your house, your job. God cannot. There's no way you can put anything in my hand right now. And if I keep it, it's like little kids and the toys. I want this toy, Mama. You've had it for 10 years. I'm going to buy you something nicer. But I want this toy, Mama. I want this toy. And we just hold on to it. It's a pride away, right? You guys play tricks on your kids when that happens. Hide them for a while. And you give them to them again next Christmas. You know, it's brand new all over you. But the thing is so true, isn't it? God cannot bless a closed spirit. He cannot bless a closed hand. He can't give you something if you're not willing to receive it. Some of you here today need to give up your life to Jesus and say, you know what? I just want to be available to you, Lord. I'm just available. Here I am. Here I am. I'm going to skip the scripture, go to the next point. Number two, we got to be flexible. And I'm not talking about flexible like me. I'm talking about those Chinese acrobats. You know what I'm talking about? Where they bend themselves all up. And they just, what in the world? How does that even happen? We got to be like the tree that's still alive today, because during winter when the snow and the ice came, it stayed flexible. And in leadership and in fellowship and all those things, we have to be able to be that for one another. Scripture calls it bear with one another, because the structure is not the point. We don't marry the structure. We marry the vision. We date the structure. Right things. It's like when football, when the quarterback calls a play, a coach calls a play, a quarterback can audible. If he audibles, he's the leader of that. And whatever he says goes. And if the play bombs out, the lineman can say, dude, you called the wrong play. They can fuss at him if they wanted to, or they can do whatever they wanted to do. But what most of them do, who have been taught well, is they go back to the huddle, and even if they have to punt, they live to see another day. Run the play that is called. If I had learned that years ago, I'd have broken it a long time ago, and I have at times, to be honest with you. And the next one is be open. Be open. Kind of alluded to this just a little bit, but what I mean here specifically is to communicate. Talk. Be quick to listen. Slow to speak. Slow to get angry. But communicate. astounds me how many times people have a hard time supporting something because they don't understand what it is. If that's the case for you, then ask questions, talk, be open, listen, and receive. And that's the way I am right now. There's some things y'all want, some of y'all want to do. I'm like, oh, I don't know. I remember a guy came to me a long time ago, and he said, well, you wanted to be a pastor of that church, so lead, pastor. I was like, I didn't mean that. So oftentimes, what I've been trying to teach some of you is to lead up, lead into the organization of where you are. Suggest and talk and listen, mold and meld and be flexible and love each other. That's the last one, be loving. Be loving. Love each other with genuine affection. Take delight in honoring one another. Would y'all stand with me for a moment, please, while we end today? I'm completely, like, engulfed in the fact that this morning I asked God through prayer warriors to let this flow today. Just because I was stuck, and I was like, told Liz over there, I rewrote this thing 3 or 4 times. I don't know what this is going to say, and I hope it communicated to you, but I want you to know from my heart, is if you didn't hear anything else, listen to this today. That if your life, your daily life, your daily walk, everything you do is not filtered through the foundation of Christ or standing on the foundation of Christ, that's where we are right now. That's where we are right now. In this moment, in this time. And it really doesn't matter if you came prepared in your mind to make a change in your mind. But I believe so strongly in preaching the word, and I wanted to make sure this is all word-driven, that God can do a work that there's no way I can even understand what he's doing in the moment. One of my professors of Bible college said, I love what I'm doing because I really don't know what I'm doing. And what he meant by that is, there will be people who one day, this is a beautiful picture, it makes me cry, but there's going to be people one day, hear this, well done, my good, faithful servant, come on in. And enjoy the fruits of your labors. See what I have prepared for you, God's going to say. And they're going to say that because you stepped in their way and gave them something more powerful than anything on the planet. That is a faith in Jesus Christ to begin to move their life. And as you're, yeah, it's all right to applaud that. It's all right to applaud that. Scripture says we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses to people who have gone before us, who are kind of like sitting in the stands watching us run the race. And every now and then I like to imagine Moses gets out of his seat and he comes down and grabs me and says, come on, man, I remember where I was you. I remember being here. Come on, I'm going to help you through this. I can't prove that. That's just me thinking. But this witness crowd, they got to see. They are now, they certainly get to see the joy of a victory found in Jesus. Prayer warriors, come on forward. For those of you who are our guests, we have a prayer team. They offer their time right now to you. They're going to be in the back. If you feel more comfortable going back there, or they're going to be up here, however you feel comfortable. If you don't feel comfortable going to talk to any of them, I just want you to pray. I really would ask you and challenge you, though, to make a step to something. There's something about you stepping out and walking to somebody that maybe you don't even know and saying, I need prayers because I don't know what I'm doing. I have no idea where I'm going. I'm scared. I'm frustrated. I have anxiety. Whatever it is, I don't know what your situation is. Maybe you are about to get married and you just want to pray into that. Maybe you're about to start a new job and you want to pray into that. Maybe you don't have a job and you want to pray into that. But you need to step out and let these people do what God called them to do. Let them use their gifts. God has given them to listen and pour to him. That's what that's all about. And today, for the very first time, is my prayer. If you're here for the very first time, if you're online for the very first time, I would invite you to come into faith today. To simply believe that the Jesus that we've been seeing, Jesus over everything, who he is, all these things. You want to make it more of your life. to say it. You need to move today. You need to move. He reigns forevermore. So you couples need to step out together and go pray over your marriage right now. Not because you're in trouble, but because you're deep. God, that over this entire room that you bless, that you reach into people's lives, Lord, right now. Pour out a blessing of your Spirit, God. Pour your Spirit out on this place. Fill us with Holy Spirit, because you are everything to us, Lord. Without you, we are absolutely nothing. Father, reach in right now and defeat the enemy who's pushing people away and stopping people and putting up roadblocks and trying to say things. Enemy, you have no right in the life of these people, in the homes of these people, because we mention Jesus' name today, you have to flee. You're not welcome here at all. So God, we're so thankful you hear everything in our heart, Lord, even the things that we don't want you to hear. We're so grateful that you know and you love us anyway. You've communicated a depth of love, Father, that we cannot fathom nor really even understand. But as your word says, Lord, we pray for to be able to understand it, though it's so great that we can't. God, we know that even in that moment, in that time, when we understand that love and that love comes into our heart, that we understand, Father, all the life and the good and the power and all the things that come from you, God, in our life. We can only have those things based and centered on your love. So thank you. Step out in any way today. I'm not blaming you for that. I'm dogging you for that. It's a room full of people, and some people get nervous about that. But I want you to know that the end of this service is not the end of that opportunity right now. We would love, absolutely love, and we mean it with all of our heart. We would love to speak into your life if you would allow us to do that, allow God to do that through us. We want to be his conduits to just work for him. So, as you get ready to leave, as we're dismissed today, if you filled out one of those connection cards, you can put those in the boxes in the back. To our church, it's important that we tithe. The people who are partners with us here, it's important that we do that. Not so that we can have a nice building, an amazing pastor, and great worship team and all that. It's so that you can receive the blessing that God gives you for giving what you give away. I mean, we don't teach health and wealth gospel here, but we do teach that God said, you cannot give him. He will bless you, pour out a blessing on you. So tithe today. If you do that electronically, that's fine. You can also put those in the boxes as you leave. That's for our partners only, for all of our guests. We just want you to come back. We just want you to come back. Y'all fly down from Washington anytime you want to, brother. Come on, that'd be great. We'd love to have you. I hope you have an incredible rest of your day. God bless you. You are dismissed. Have a great day.